Welcome to Got Something to Say with Johnny Reinhart, highlighting the people and events making the news and making a difference on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Got Something to Say is brought to you by United Federal Credit Union. We get you.
I got a couple guests joining me today. I've got Ed Tracy joining me from the Ghostlight Theater in Benton Harbor. He's the interim executive director. Also, Nick Mason joining us from the Manhattan Short Film Festival. Very excited about something that is coming up here very soon on Saturday the 1st. So looking forward to a great thing happening at the Ghostlight. But first, what I always like to do is trying to figure out, you know, how things happen and the, you know, how this partnership ended up happening. So I guess, Ed, tell me how you decided, hey, let's bring something like this, the Manhattan Short, to the Ghostlight.
Well, one of our board members is a big fan of the festival, Ronnie Buckley, and she was the connector between us and Nick. And Nick's work over the last 25 years is really astounding. This festival is over everywhere internationally, but the big footprint in Michigan. And of course, the Ghostlight is Southwest Michigan's regional theater. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to provide a lot of opportunity for theater, dance, and also events just like this. So it really fits in our facility.
Absolutely. A great space to be able to adapt to all kinds of different things. Like you've got this really cool space that you can say, hey, let's do a theater performance this day, and then let's make some reconfigurations, and boom, now we can have a short film festival and watch some great films at the Ghostlight. It's happening October 1st, but Nick, let's talk a little bit about the Manhattan Short Film Festival. This is something that is happening over many different venues all around. Tell me a little bit how that all got started.
Oh, well, I started it on the side of a truck. Okay. On Mulberry Street, Little Italy. I always wanted to see sort of like this Olympics of film, like one film from this country, one film from that country. I always found if it was all films from, say, Israel, if it was all films from Australia, it got a bit wearing. So that was the idea first off, and it was in within 2 hours or a two-hour period. Mm-hmm. I moved it to Union Square Park, and it was always like mid to late September. So, and it used to be judged by celebrities in Union Square Park, in like Sarandon and Tim Robbins and Eric Stoltz, Laura Linney, and a host of celebs used to judge it, and no one knew the name of the festival. We just used to set up all through the park, and it was a pretty small event. And then 9/11 happened. And we were scheduled to go ahead September the 23rd, 2001. Mm-hmm. And Union Square became like a shrine. And we put the festival on. We were asked to. I got a feeling that the city were quite scared that something may happen again. And Union Square Park was a pretty good place to do that. And they wanted to things to go ahead to move the park forward. So we put it on, and it was surrounded by satellite trucks, the press satellite trucks, mm-hmm. reporting back to their country and their news stations back in their country. And so we had the press right there, and we're putting on this filmic Olympiad of short films to this audience who's still in shock. Right. And if you're a filmmaker representing the UK, well, the BBC did an interview on you, or Italy, Rai TV, or Australia, you know, ABC News Australia. People called me and said, we saw your festival on all these news stations. And back in 2001, a news station carried a lot more weight than what it does today. I mean, it was more condensed, the media. Mm-hmm. And so resulting from that, we received a lot more films into the following year. And so when I watched all the films, I found the films more revealing about how the world was feeling than anything else I was seeing. And the idea came to just get it to more people to see this. I mean, I saw films that were in like different countries and different borders and different religions, and we hated them and they hated us. But these films showed how similar we all were as human beings. We all loved, we all love family, all love food, we all love music, we all love sports. And I wanted just more people to see it. And in 2004, I physically said, okay, it's a two-hour show. Let's branch it out to other venues. And rather than have celebrity judge it, let's have the public judge it. Mm. And we had seven venues, seven states, seven cities, and it was seven shows in 1 week. And it was when the festival found its voice, was when the public came in and judged it. And they created blogs and they did all this stuff about what did you vote for. And I remember doing an interview in Concord, New Hampshire about the Friday before the Oscars and in 2005, and it was live radio. And I remember people calling up. And the big story in Concord, New Hampshire was this short film from India in their film festival, which mm-hmm. was Manhattan Short last September, called Little Terrorist, was up for an Oscar on Sunday, not Sean Penn for Mystic River. And mm-hmm. I thought, my God, these people own this festival. Even though it's called Manhattan Short, it's their event.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went to town, and I just, that year, I think I got about now 70 venues involved across the United States. And the following year, I flew to Krakow in Poland and asked a girl, because I now had this idea of having a festival, not just in the USA, but in Europe as well at the same time. And I got them involved, and then she was really high up with cinema unions, and she sent an email to all these other cinemas saying, look, there's this Australian guy creating this festival on both sides of the Atlantic. And then that took off, and then after that I said, oh man, every year I'm just going to add a continent,
you know?
and just keep on saying, look, get involved, like here it is, and boom boom. And by about 2010, we had all six continents involved, and it was just completely created by the films, the public, the community venues, really, like Ed's, and people gravitating to it and saying, look, this is our event, and we do it every year mm-hmm. at the same time, and no one's going to take it away from us. So that's how it grew. I wish I could have condensed it.
Well,
that was a long project.
Yeah, exactly. What do you got to do to get the seventh continent involved?
I've tried.
You tried?
And I tried to get Larson. And there was actually, I grew up in horse racing in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bookmaker called Robbie Waterhouse. And he was a mate of my father's. And he was a pretty big guy, pretty connected. And he did actually try to, you know, go through Parliament and go through this Larson involved in Antarctica. But it sort of fell through the cracks, you know. You know, I'm not ruling it out in the future.
Hey, it could happen for sure. But this is.
Oh, damn right it can.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, and that's the beauty of this is how it's grown. And that's the thing is people want to see. More people see their films. I mean, that's the beauty of a film festival and getting it out there. And that's what most directors and filmmakers, of course, the end result is they want people to see their films. And you have tons of venues now. Is it 500, over 500 venues around the world?
We've lost a few with Russia, but it's pushing there. It's between 400 to 500. We had 40 in Russia.
Wow.
Getting back to your point, Johnny, filmmakers don't just want people to see their films. Filmmakers want people to see their films
mm-hmm.
in a forum.
Right.
It's quite a different thing. The films I remember are the films I saw in a cinema,
mm-hmm.
you know, with 60 to 100 people, rather than at home right. watching it on the internet. And that's the sort of another key to the success of this festival was we were very clear that if you don't go to that theater, you missed it. You know?
Right.
And then what starts to happen is the films resonate with an audience member for the next 4 to 5 months, and people hear about this thing in the coffee shops, the banks, mm-hmm. or wherever mm-hmm. in their community and say, oh, I've got to go that next year to that next year. So if you look at what we're going to do at Ghostlight, let's just say we get 60 people through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next year that 60 is going to turn into 100 because right. they couldn't see it anywhere else. So it was also the power of a short film in a forum, you know?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it can grow to, you might have to put the theater screen outside and then try and fill the area inside and outside. And that's something you can do at the Ghostlight. So, but fast forward here to 2022 and this coming weekend at the Ghostlight, 7:30, you can go and see this film festival. Nick, how many films will we be able to see?
There are 10 short films, and it's getting rave reviews.
That's amazing. Ed, give me some more details on what people need to know before they come to the Ghostlight to come and see this Manhattan Short Festival.
Well, the tickets are on sale on our website at ghostlightbh.com. The entry price at the door is $15. But if you buy today and you use a promo code of MS, that's capital MS2022, you can take $5 off that entry price. So $10 gets you in. There's a cash bar. The crew over there at the Ghostlight, Danny Gilligan and Paul Storz, have put together a new screen format. So we're projecting these in very, very high definition on the side of the wall of the Ghostlight. And there's plenty of seating. So 7:30, October 1st, ghostlightbh.com is where you can get the tickets.
Really looking forward to this. It sounds like it's going to be absolutely amazing. And like you said, Nick, being able to see it with a lot of great people is the way that these films need to be seen. And you can do that on Saturday, October 1st at the Ghostlight in Benton Harbor. But really looking forward to it. But thank you guys so much for taking some time to chat with me about it. It sounds like it's going to be great.
Absolute pleasure, Johnny. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Johnny.
Got Something to Say with Johnny Reinhart, highlighting the people and events making the news and making a difference on News Talk Sports, 94.9 WSJM. Have something to say? Email letstalk@wsjm.com.